Many times over the last few years, you've heard us talk about Glenridge Bible Church on Scott Street in St. Catharines. It's been instrumental in a variety of different ways for us. We've done a Worship Wednesday live event here. When my wife and I walked to Toronto to raise money for Ratnack International and draw attention to the needs of children who are trafficked, this became kind of a home base. We did a live broadcast from here. Been involved in a lot of different things, and so I'm looking forward to speaking with David Yauncey, who is the lead pastor at Glenridge Bible Church here in St. Catharines. It's also the home of Calvary Christian School. I should add that. David, it's good to have you with us. It's good to see you again.
Thanks, Neil. It's a real honor to be here.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to talking with you, because when I called to set up this interview, all of a sudden, out of left field, you told me some really interesting news. And I thought, man, this has to be God, that we've got the opportunity to catch you this week. So describe what's going on in your life.
Well, Neil, you know I've been here a long time. Actually, I've been here for 35 years at the Glenridge Bible Church. And so this week marks a very special time for me, because this coming Sunday will be my last Sunday here. I'm just going to move into retirement years. So there we go. That's very transitional.
How in the world did this come about? I mean, you've been doing pastoring for a long time. In fact, you were pastor even before coming here, right?
Oh, yes, very much so, yeah.
How many years total?
Well, a total of 35 years at Glenridge Bible Church.
But total as a pastor?
Oh, as a pastor, yeah. It'd be about 42 years as a pastor.
And kidding.
Yeah, I pastored. Our very first church was out in Vineland, Ontario. And then 5.5 years after we were there for 5.5 years, we moved into St. Catharines in a school gym setting with a handful of people, and started pastoring Glenridge Bible Church, the first pastor. And I've been here all these years. Now I'm old. That's why.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you know the Apostle Paul personally or anything?
Well, just about.
How far back do you go?
Well, a long way. Feels like it sometimes.
Yeah. But are you originally from this area, Southern Ontario?
Well, Kitchener is my hometown, and I grew up in Kitchener and went to Bible college there. But then my wife and I, Kay and I, we moved down to Chicago, and we were there for 3.5 years for seminary. I went to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School there.
Wow.
And then after graduation, moved up to Niagara Region at the Vineland Church, and then 5.5 years later into St. Catharines, and we've stayed put all these years in St. Catharines, yeah.
I guess sometimes people, when they've got longevity in any kind of a field, you sometimes say, is it any different now than when you began? And the world has changed a lot in those 42 years, and I'm wondering what your perspective would be on that.
Yeah, well, you're right. It has changed. There's a lot of issues that are brand new issues that I never faced when I started out. So I've seen that, and I've lived through a lot of changes, and it represents challenge. Sometimes issues arise, and you think, oh my, what's going to happen? But I learned something quite a while ago. Somebody said, you know what, problems in ministry aren't opposed to the ministry. They actually are the ministry. Hmm. And they said, you look at the Apostle Paul when he wrote all the epistles, and he was addressing problems. So if you've know the Lord's going to be the one that builds a church, and he is. I forget that sometimes,
yeah.
But the Lord sustains us by His grace, and it's a wonderful thing. I look back with many, many wonderful memories, good things.
I had a conversation just this week on the air, because this is Pastor Appreciation Month.
Okay.
I want you to know I appreciate you.
Okay.
You're a pastor.
Thanks, Neil.
But it was really cool. Tom Rainier has written a lot of books on church leadership and ministry, okay. And he does a regular blog, and they commissioned an organization to do a study and to ask people what they think are the most important aspects of a pastor. Like, if you're going to say that a pastor has done a good job and you respect him, you want to follow him, what are the key points you look for? And this particular, you know, response from in this particular survey, people responded by saying, love for the congregation was number one. Second, the ability to preach. And then it goes on from there, and there's a variety of other things, including character-related issues, that kind of stuff, that should be a person of character, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it was just kind of interesting to see, because we all have different opinions. But the one thing in the conversation that we had was that a pastor needs to be approachable and knowable and transparent, in the sense that maybe not sharing every detail of his life, per se.
Yes.
But somebody who has access to the people, and the people have access to him. And I've always seen you to be that kind of a person. But a lot of pastors, you know, especially in large mega church settings, tend to be slightly more insulated, and you would understand why, because they can't deal with the needs of 20,000 people in any given week. But I don't know if you want to talk about that, because people are, you said that before, problems are the ministry, and people are the ministry. People have problems.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, there's an elderly gentleman who was my mentor years ago. He's in glory now, but I'll never forget the first thing he said to me when I was starting my work out as a pastor. He said, David, he said, there's two things that if you want to be a good pastor, there are two things. You might be surprised at what they are. First of all, he said, sensitivity to people. You have to be sensitive to people. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you have to be flexible, very, very flexible. He said there's all kinds of other things that come, skills that can be learned. But those two elements are so strategic for becoming a pastor that is sensitive and flexible with people. And I've never forgotten that, and I tried to be intentional about those things. And yeah. And I think it's helped
good
me.
Good advice.
Yeah.
So did you grow up around the church, meaning that you were used to going to church as a kid?
That talk about change. Yeah, my family, we went every, I mean, I went whether I wanted to or not, Sunday morning, Sunday night. What mom and dad would even take me to prayer meetings. Those were back in the days when people would be sitting around kneeling, and I was always peeking, watching people pray on their knees, you know. but there came that time in my life when the parental conviction that I was raised with had to become a personal one with me. And that happened when I was a teenager, and I thank the Lord for my heritage. But then, things changed from then on. It became much more of a personal calling and a real sense of God's calling. And I think that's important for a pastor to make sure that he senses the Lord calling, because there are days when you need to be sure that he's called you, you know.
Sure. Well, and that probably sustained you more than once.
Absolutely.
To remember that he was the one who asked you to do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think maybe just understanding how you got your call to ministry would be interesting, because, I mean, 42 years is a long time, and there's no doubt that this is what God uniquely designed you to do. Sometimes, I guess, we do things that maybe we wouldn't necessarily sign up for. Moses didn't necessarily want to lead the children of Israel. Jesus said, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. So, you know, our own emotions get in the way. But you answered the call of God, and I be interested to know how that came to you. Like, how did you know this was what the Lord was saying to you?
Yeah, there's two things that come to my mind. First of all, even when I was in Bible college, I'd gone through the first 2 years of the four-year course, and the academic dean came to me after 2 years and said, now, David, what is the Lord saying to you about where he wants you? And I said, I'm sorry, I don't have a clue. I was pretty young, immature. He said, well, then let's just put you in this particular program, Bachelor of Theology program. I said, fine with me if it's fine with you. You know, so I had no clue and no understanding, and I went through Bible college that way without really much of a sense of anything. But then as I looked back on my life, I saw the Lord directing, and I remember specifically being at one conference. I had just started at Vineland Church, and I was doing that because they gave me a call, and I said, well, hey, it was a good church. I remembered from singing at the church with the Watchmen years ago, and I said to my wife, I hope the Lord gives us a good church. It didn't. I had that call. But what came crystal clear at one conference when the Lord just used a speaker, and he said, I just want to ask people out here if they feel God's Spirit giving them a call to do church planting. Well, at the time I was just started a church that was over 100 years old. But it was as clear as a bell. I needed church planting. Here I was at a church, just started, I was over 100 years old, but I stood up. And said, I sensed that call, and it was just so very clear. And I didn't know how it was going to happen, but when I look back on it, that's exactly what happened. I started the church plant, and here we are, and it's been a long time.
What about your love for music?
Oh, yeah, it's always been there. Always been there ever since we were teenagers. We started singing a quartet together in response to a Bible college contest, and of all things, we won the contest, singing a song, Heaven Came Down, Glory Filled My Soul. I still remember that song, old song. And I don't know whether we were the only group in that particular category, but anyway, we won, and we've been singing ever since. And it's been a real part of my life, my ministry the Lord has given to me for now. The group's been singing for over 52 years.
And the music series you've done here at the church, it's been a couple decades, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been getting close to 26 years, I believe. So the Henley Christian Music Festival, and we're operating this very Sunday night. We've got one Tri-City Chorus, Gospel Chorus, is going to be with us. About 80 voice choir of men from Markham, from East York, and from Oshawa. And so
Sunday's going to be a big day.
Yeah, it's a big.
It's your last day as lead pastor here at the church.
And
unbeknownst to you, probably 30, 40 years ago, God was raising up somebody on the west coast of Canada to someday step in and assume the role of leader at Glenridge Bible.
Sure.
When did you first meet Bobby Halleck?
We met Bobby Halleck when he'd moved from Winnipeg here and became the regional missionary for the Awana Clubs, which is a kids club. Maybe you're familiar with it, but and we had Awana Clubs. And so he became the new missionary. The old missionary, John Froom, had retired, and Bobby became the new man in, and we had Awana Clubs. So he introduced himself and to us, and right away it was a good click. I'll tell you, it was a good click, and Bobby does well with children. Just kids love him. Boys, you know, even older boys, junior high boys and youth, that's Bobby's really gifted to communicate to all ages, but children in particular, he was really good at it. And so we were pretty impressed with this new Awana missionary. That's where I first met him.
Well, we're going to get a chance to meet him here in a second, but I just wanted to say you have a pretty vibrant youth program here at the church. And of course, you guys are associated with Calvary Christian School. Yeah. They utilize your building during the week. So kids and youth ministry are kind of on your mind anyway, but Bobby seems like the perfect fit to step in to a church that has a lot of young families.
Absolutely, and that's part of what we were looking at, because Bobby is a young man, a father of, I say about five or six kids so far, and you know, and but you're right, he fits perfectly, and he communicates well with all ages. So we're excited about some of the gaps that we do have as a church, but Bobby is, we believe, God's man just for this particular season, just right on.
Well, there's a lot more we want to hear from you, but let me welcome Bobby to the conversation here, because he's been sitting quietly, just sort of listening. Man, you got some big shoes to fill, but congratulations that you're going to be the pastor here in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, thanks, Neil. It's exciting. It's very daunting. I'm not going to lie. It's one of those situations where when they were looking at who would take over from David's work here, when I was approached, I did everything I could to stop the process. I pulled the Moses and made the excuses. I did a Jonah and went in the opposite direction.
Uh-oh.
The Lord just kept pulling me back, and here we are, yeah.
I actually am glad to hear that, because I think that if somebody was going to say, oh, you know, I'm definitely the guy for the role, and God's going to be blessed to have me on his team, that you'd be looking at that the entirely wrong way. Yeah. What I hear you saying is that, you know, there's going to be a need to be dependent upon God.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, this is not a work that can be done in our own strength. To live a life in Christ requires us to acknowledge our own weakness, and that in our weakness, his strength is perfected. And that's something that the Lord's been working in my life for the last couple of years. Even going back to being the Awana missionary and traveling, I don't like to travel. I really don't like to be out on the road. And when you move from the prairies where you'll be lucky to pass a car every hour to the 400 series highways of Southern Ontario. Mm-hmm. It's very intimidating.
Oh yeah.
And I remember the first time I came onto those highways, I was ready to die and go to heaven and see Jesus. And it was terrifying. And so to be out on the road visiting all the clubs, once I was in the club, it was great to hang out with those kids to minister and and the kids were ministering to me as well, really encouraging to me. But then to end up here at Glenridge, and I do remember very clearly the first time we met, when Pastor Dave and I met, and the club here was just so, it was vibrant, and it was just exciting to be a part of it, and that was the beginning of what not only do I consider just us as colleagues in the pastoral ministry, but as really good friends.
One of the things you mentioned earlier was the word leadership, and that really you're in the business or in the ministry of developing leaders. That's going to transition now to the role of lead pastor, you know, but it's an interesting perspective, because some people, I think, I'm talking about the casual observer, would look at children's ministry and say, oh, that's a way to occupy kids while the parents are being ministered to. Mm. The other way to look at it is, this is a future generation. We're raising the next generation of godly leaders. And I heard you say that earlier, which I think was pretty encouraging. It's probably one of the reasons kids like being around you, because you see something in them and you believe in them, and that matters when you're a kid.
Absolutely. You know, I'm hanging out with the kids, and I'm the kind of guy that no matter how old I get, now I'm only 43, so I'm not, you know, there are people that look at me and say, well, I've got socks older than you, and that's fine. You got 43-year-old socks. You may want to go to the store, but you know, I have a very young heart, I guess. I'm very youthful in a sense. My wife will look at my Transformer collection on the shelf and say, when's the time to grow up? I said, well, when I die.
Yeah.
And so I just have this heart for young people. Just love playing ball with them. I may not be able to run it up and down the court with them as much as as I'd like to, but you see these kids and they're in a world today that's so different, even as Pastor Dave mentioned, from his time as being a young man to even my time as being a young guy, which wasn't that long ago.
Right.
And all the influences of the world in their lives and what does a godly man look like, and what does a godly father look like, and who is this Jesus, and what is the Bible? There is just a complete lack of knowledge. I remember saying the Lord's Prayer in school, and those things are part of history now.
Wow.
And so, you know, to have a chance to interact with these people and these young people, their families, to welcome them, and to let them know that you know, I'm just like them. I'm fallen in my nature, but I thank the Lord that I have Jesus Christ.
Did you go to public school?
I went to public school, yeah.
And you said the Lord's Prayer.
We did, and as a matter of fact, when I hit grade 9, that was the last year that they had the Lord's Prayer in school.
Because I'm thinking if you did that in the GTA in a public school, you'd probably
not gonna
get
happen.
Sent to jail. You're going to lose your job for sure.
Yeah.
May end up in jail leading kids in the Lord's Prayer. What a different world.
Yeah.
Is it true you met your wife here at Glen Ridge Bible?
Well, I met her in Southern Ontario. I grew up in Winnipeg, and I came here for a summer to work. And we met, and people say, well, it's by chance. It's such a coincidence. But it was God who brought us together, because I remember getting a ride to go to a meeting. We were working for the same organization at the time. It was a children's organization, and I wasn't going to go. It was my days off. And long story short, the very last second, I decided, you know what, I'm going to go for a ride into town, because I was working at a home that was out in the sticks somewhere. And lo and behold, this young lady comes out of a house, and I looked at that girl, and I said, I'm going to marry that girl.
Really?
I'm going to marry that girl. And it was my wife. That's
how
my
did
wife.
You know this? Because I've heard these stories before.
I you know, as soon as she ran out, and of course, our stories go in two different directions. She was wearing a black jacket. She says it's brown. That's fine. Whatever. It was black. But and there was a storm rolling in, I remember. So I got out as the gentleman that I am and opened the door for her. And she claims I slammed the door shut because there was a lightning strike that actually hit the ground very near where our vehicle was. It was like out of a movie. And she claims that I jumped into the van and shut the, or she claims that I jumped into the van, and shut the door on her and abandoned her outside in the storm. But I don't remember it that way. I remember pushing her into the van and closing the door and protecting her.
Saving her life.
Yeah, I was. Oh. I think I was very noble.
Absolutely. But valiant warrior that you are. I'm just wondering if the lightning was generated by the storm in the clouds or whether it was generated by the chemistry.
Yeah,
the electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
But how many kids do you have?
So I have one daughter who's 23, who is back in Winnipeg on her own. And that was before I came to the Lord. I was in a relationship, and we had a beautiful daughter together. Now, that relationship ended. And out of that, the tragedy of that relationship breaking down is when I came to know Jesus Christ. Mm. And after that, long story short, again, met Laura. And now Laura and I have 5 children together. So 6 total. 3 girls. I am blessed with 3 girls.
Wow.
And then when all hope was lost, along came my son Benjamin, and then Luke, and then little Joshua. So we've got Emma and Eva, and Eternity is my oldest. And so very blessed, very blessed.
I've got 3 kids. My youngest is Benjamin. He's 27 now. But
oh, wow.
Love that name.
Yeah.
It's a strong name, but it's a gentle name for some reason.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what my wife loved about it.
Yeah. So tell me quickly, how did you come to faith in Christ? I mean, it was out of a crisis, but describe, I mean, you don't have to give the details per se.
Sure.
It's up to you. But what led you to believe that Jesus was what you were actually looking for?
Well, I had, you know, a shallow knowledge of Jesus. We celebrate his birthday at Christmas. We get presents, and there were some wise men that showed up. Just that superficial knowledge that you pick up along the way. Our family was not a church-going family. We were unique in that both my mom and dad were hearing impaired. They were both deaf. So my first language was American Sign Language. And so we would go to what's called the deaf church, and I would sit in and pardon the pun, but I'd listen in and hear the message. But it was never internalized. There was never an understanding of my need for a savior. That wasn't there. But as I look back in my life, I see the Lord planting those seeds and tilling the soil of my heart, preparing me for this moment where you know, one of my greatest fears, at least it was the fear of abandonment and being alone. And so when you have a relationship that you invest your time into and you invest all this effort into and you think it's going to last forever, comes to an end, then those fears surface and you begin to question, you know, am I lovable? And so I remember a dear friend of mine who's gone on to glory, who was a teacher of mine, a guidance counselor at my high school. He said, Bobby, why don't you come to the school? There's a church that meets there, and listen to the pastor. And that's when I heard the gospel clearly for the first time. He actually had a completely different message prepared.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to preach a completely different sermon. And he tells me afterwards that the Holy Spirit prompted him to just clearly preach the gospel. And that's when I heard it. That's when the Bible really reflected to me who I am in my sinful state before a holy God. Like Isaiah, just falling down before the throne saying, you know, I'm basically a filthy person in the sight of God's holiness. And in order to be reconciled to him, in order to have eternal life, in order to know that when I die and my last breath leaves my body, I'll be in glory with Jesus, is to trust in Christ, that man who hung on the cross, who is God in the flesh, and was buried on the third day, rose from the dead. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. And so that was the moment that I trusted in Christ.
It's incredible. From that very moment, would you have ever guessed you'd be the lead pastor at Glen Ridge Bible Church?
No, not at all. No, absolutely not. Most people that know me really, really well know that I really suffer from public speaking, a fear of public speaking. I think we all do to a degree.
Yeah.
But for me, just to even present something high school, I would call in sick. I just wouldn't show up. And just the thought of going up to the platform, that very first time where the elders at Ridgeville Bible Chapel, where I was in fellowship for many years, shout out to Ridgeville, they said, Bobby, why don't you take the platform and let's see what, because Christ has given you gifts. Let's figure out what those gifts are. Well, I gave what I think was just an awful sermon. I didn't look up from my notes once. I read them verbatim. I had this beautiful PowerPoint behind me. I don't think I moved from the first slide because I was horrified in fear that I was preaching. I was preaching. And so the elders did see a gift there. They cultivated it. And through a lot of difficulties and a lot of challenges, they showed me the grace to grow in that gift. And so, to think that God would call me to the ministry of pastoring Glen Ridge Bible Church is something that if you had asked me 5 years ago, I would have said, I'll take that bet, because there's no way I'll be doing that.
Only God.
Yeah, only God.
That's so cool. We're going to take a break here, but let me just ask you, you're currently on staff at Glen Ridge.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a relatively smooth transition with Pastor Dave retiring this weekend.
This weekend.
And there's a gospel concert Sunday night, and we'll talk about what's coming up next at Glen Ridge. So we'll be back. We'll hear more from David Yonsei, the lead pastor at Glen Ridge Bible, and got the future lead pastor, Bobby Halleck, with us as well on this edition of NBL. More with Spotlight. Putting the spotlight on Jesus right after this. Don't go away. All right, we are back again here on a Worship Wednesday edition of NBL. Spotlight conversation, letting people see what Jesus is doing in and through his church. Pretty incredible to hear Bobby talking about feeling completely inadequate to become a lead pastor, and yet this is what God is raising him up for and calling him to and helping him grow in his gifting, you know, for this very reason. Isn't it interesting, David, maybe you can comment quickly that God often... His power is perfected in our weakness is what I really want to say. Mm. That he takes the thing that we would consider to be a liability and he uses it for his glory.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's very true. I think it's, and you said it earlier too, I think that's the right attitude, just recognizing that, you know, he is the one. He is the one that has the supremacy, and we need to just acknowledge that and then watch him work. And he does that.
So with your official retirement from lead pastoral ministry, I guess I'll say, because I don't think it's ever possible to retire from ministry as a believer. Right. We're all called to be Christ witnesses and to be ministers of reconciliation wherever God places us. So, but are you just going to sit at home and do nothing, or what? what's the future look like?
Well, sometimes it's a hard thing to see the future. And I was reflecting on my life, and I thought, you know, there are not many times when I could kind of dictate or that I plan my future. I look back and I say, okay, that's what's happened, and I say, thank you, Lord, because I see that He's been at work. But there are some things that I'm presently involved in that have always been a part of my life. life. Music is one of them. So the Watchmen are still singing. And as long as we still have health and strength, we're amazed at the number of invitations we give. And certainly the Henley has been a part of our heart, and it's continuing on as well here at the church. So that's another big thing. But also, you know, I was just thinking about when Bobby was talking to little kids. Ever since my dad passed on all of his little magic tricks and object lessons, that's something I have done over the years, and I used to make these things. I'm still doing that kind of thing. And I used to go up to Rocky Ridge Ranch from People's Church Camp. I've done that for over 25 years, talking to kids.
Really?
And I still do that. And so that's going to be part. And then my wife, Kay, she's a quiet lady, but goodness sakes, she's done something I didn't even know she was doing it, but she's published a book, and it's selling like crazy, and I'm really happy about it.
Really?
So, yeah.
You're going to be a road manager.
I don't know. Speaking engagements. I don't know what it is, but you know, I'm happy even Hallmark stores are carrying the thing, and it's amazing.
But you did say you're going to continue singing?
Yeah, we'll continue singing, and as the Lord leads and directs and opens those doors.
What's the name of your group?
The Watchmen Quartet. The Watchmen Quartet. We've been singing for 52 years, which is crazy. Yeah.
Wow. And were you called the Watchmen Quartet when you won that contest?
We that's going back a long time. I don't think we had the name yet. We just, I don't even hesitate to say what the name that we thought we would use. But anyway, we'll just forget that one. But we shortly thereafter, when we realized, hey, this is it, we enjoyed it. And then people would ask us if we'd come and sing at the church. And sometimes we only had two or three songs. So then eventually we said, let's get a name. And we went from there.
I'm going to look forward to hearing from Bobby in just a minute about some of the vision he has for the future of what he believes God may be saying for the church. But what's kind of really cool, you told me that God is doing good things right now at Glenridge. That you were part of a baptism service on Sunday. Talk about that.
Yeah, it was just a couple of weeks ago. We had four people that had kind of pre-signed up to be baptized. They wanted to be baptized, and so that was great. But, you know, during the service, sometimes we do this. When we went out to the lake before we had a baptismal tank, we do the same thing, and that is just give an open invitation if there was anybody even there at the service but had never been baptized as a believer, but they were without question a Christian, a Christ one. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to give witness to that. If they didn't mind getting their clothes wet, come on up. Well, we had four that we knew were coming in, but another one by one, another additional six people got up out of the other chairs, came up. One lady was in a wheelchair, so she didn't come up. We went down and we poured water as a form of baptism for her. But altogether, 10 folk, and it was a glorious, glorious service, just a glorious service. The Lord just prompted, and even last Sunday night, we were having our soup and share night, and people were talking about the service. Two or three people mentioned about that and why they did what they did or what a blessing it's been. So the Lord has moved in that service, and then this coming Sunday morning, we're going to receive, I think it's 10 new members into fellowship this Sunday morning.
Wow.
So it is exciting.
We're going to give Bobby a chance in a second here, as I said, to talk about some of the vision, but you're confident that this is God's design, that God was preparing him for this for a long time.
Absolutely. For him and also for me. And I had three goals when I started out saying yes to Glenridge, and those three goals have been more than met. And I see really now this church is ready to move beyond the foundational years of just survival and establishment of having a home to now growing and developing. And I believe with all my heart that Bobby is the man, because the Holy Search process, and I've been through it, and when I turned 65, we started it. Now I'm 68 now, 3 years. There's been a lot of things happen in those 3 years. Without question, God has been moving and directing, and here we are with him here at this point in time. I'm convinced myself, yeah.
All right, and if you've never been to Glenridge, this would be a great weekend to come.
Yeah,
because you could stop in and see all this. You're on Scott Street. What is it?
310 Scott Street, St. Catharines. That's right.
Beautiful building. As I said earlier, it's also the home of Calvary Christian School, which is just a dynamic school. Bobby, let me ask you, if you don't mind, about some of what you think God is saying for the future. Now, it's not like you probably have it all figured out, but you get a sense that God has called you to this. And I wonder what you feel like he's saying to you about the future of the work here at Glenridge.
Well, I've been part of Glenridge for the last 2 years on staff, part-time, working with the WANA program. So it's been wonderful to see the program itself grow. Mm-hmm. I'd like to continue to see that grow. I'd like to continue to see the young people coming into the building. And first of all, understanding who Christ is and just being Jesus's hands and feet to them here in the building, where on Scott Street there. So that's primarily where I'm focused now. But to clearly preach the Word of God, I'm very concerned with, you know, a lot of watering down of the gospel and so when I preach, you know, I oftentimes will tell people, if your issue is with what I'm saying, you take that issue up with the Lord because it's His word. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'll give you illustrations. I'll give you things like that, personal anecdotes, application. But if your issue is with the Word of God, then you have to go to the Lord and seek His counsel on that. And so in all things that we do, without shame, preach the gospel and live the life of Christ. The big thing that's been on my heart as of late is the great commandment that Jesus gave us is to love one another. The world will know you by your love for one another. And so that we would be a family united in God's love here at Glenridge.
Love it. GlenridgeBibleChurch.org is where you can get more details. And David was mentioning earlier, I think the Henley Concert Series is going to continue. So you're not
going to continue on. Yeah, it's going to continue on.
And that's been a fixture for years.
Absolutely.
So that's a huge blessing. Anything particular that you got planned for Christmas? Because we're actually not that far away now. It's kind of scary to think.
It's hard to believe. You know, I'm the kind of guy that people refer to me as Mr. Christmas. I love Christmas all 365, 366 days of the year. And so Christmas is a big highlight for me. One of those houses that you can see from space where we live.
Okay.
Just did some shopping today, and my wife said, I can't believe you're buying more lights. And so Christmas is a big, fun time of year for me. But at the center of everything, of course, is Christ and that God came into the world to save sinners like us. So we're going to continue on with that message through the Christmas season. We have a sleigh ride, I think, that we have booked for the first Sunday of December. And we've got a number of special events that will be going on, of course, and Christmas Eve. Everyone's welcome to join us to celebrate the birth of Christ.
Yeah, check out the website, GlenridgeBibleChurch.org. Let me pray for you guys. I get an opportunity to pray for David as he steps aside and Bobby as he takes the lead here. Lord, I thank you for both of these men. I thank you for their love for you. It's obvious. Lord, and I stand amazed as the spotlight is put on your work once again and what you've done to grow and sustain this church and bring Bobby along to a place where at one point in his life he was even wondering if he was lovable, yet to discover your love, Lord, and to see it transform his life, to get a call to ministry and then eventually the role of lead pastor. And so pray for your blessing upon him as he comes in and assumes the role of lead pastor here at Glenridge. At the same time, Lord, I thank you for the faithful service of David Yauncey, Lord, and for the many years, 35 years in this one church, and for the many lives that have been impacted, including the 10 recently who were baptized publicly to let the world know that they're followers of you. Lord, I thank you for the work that you continue to do in all of our lives and the ways that you have prepared us long before we knew where we were headed, Lord. When you were bringing Bobby to faith in Christ, it was so that one day he could serve you as a lead pastor in St. Catharines, Ontario. And we don't know all that the future holds, but we do know the one who directs our steps, Lord. And so we want to commit our ways to you, knowing that whatever it is you've called us to do, you will bring about for your glory. It's just about faithfulness. And so, Lord, I pray for your anointing to rest on Bobby as he takes control here and for your continued anointing to rest on David as he pursues new avenues of ministry, including, Lord, some old ones like staying involved in music and helping his wife with the distribution and publications of these new books that she's been working on. Lord, there's so many exciting things ahead, and we thank you that you love us enough to care about the details of our lives. Thank you for letting us be eyewitness to these things for your glory. Bless Glenridge Bible Church, Calvary Christian School, and the people here in St. Catharines. Raise up more believers who will follow after you and others who will be committed to following you even in ministry for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bobby, thank you for being with us. God bless you.
My pleasure, Neil.
And David, you're a good friend for many years. Thanks for being with us as well.
Thanks a lot, Neil. That's great.
All right. We'll be back with more of NBL in just a moment. Don't go away.